Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
Attorney General Jeff Sessions' Senate seat has been open since February when he stepped down to accept President Trump's nomination to be the nation's next Attorney General. Sessions was re-elected to the U.S. Senate in 2014 and his term runs through the end of 2020. Meanwhile, Alabama's then Attorney General Luther Strange accepted the governor's interim appointment to the vacant Senate seat on February 9th, pending a special election. A special primary election was held on August 15th, which saw 7 Democrats and 9 Republicans competing. Of the 159,000 total Democrat votes cast, a clear majority went to former U.S. Attorney Doug Jones, who thereby automatically advanced to the December 12th general election. However, the Republican race had no majority winner, so the top two vote-getters, Luther Strange, who was put in place by Alabama governor, back in, I believe it was February or March, he had a little over 136,000 votes, and Alabama Chief Justice Roy Moore came in second with 162,000 plus votes. And those two advanced to a runoff primary on September 26th. So we're going to talk about that race. We're going to talk about the workings of the race, its outcome, and what the Alabama December 12th general election means to the United States. My guest today is Pennsylvania activist and supporter of Judge Roy Moore, Jack Hamlet, and he and his wife live in Lebanon County. Thanks, Jack, for being with us.
Yes, it's my pleasure. Very much so, Diane.
So how did you get to know Judge Roy Moore? What have some of your interactions with the judge, and why are you such a strong supporter of the judge?
Well, I will gladly tell that, and if I may, I just want to correct one little thing. I think you said in the September primary, and you said by accident that Roy Moore had come in second, and actually come in first with about 40% of the vote, Luther Strange around 32, and the rest mainly going to Mo Brooks at that point.
Okay, so Judge Moore got first in the primary. What was that called, the Senate primary? Because Alabama does it different than what we do here in Pennsylvania, so I'm kind of working through how they work. Okay, so Judge Moore was first then, and Strange was, okay.
Yes, and of course in the September primary where he did win the Republican nomination, he carried most of the counties of the state, including liberal counties, and won. He beat Luther Strange by 40,000 votes, despite the Republican establishment putting $30 million behind Luther Strange.
Right.
Roy Moore ending with $2 or $3 million.
So. Yeah, wow. That is a big difference. So how did you first get to know Judge Moore? Why do you support him so strongly?
Well, as a young man, as a teenager, I was first heard of him probably through the ministry on TV at the time of Dr. D. James Kennedy.
Mm, okay.
And in those days, Roy Moore would have been a circuit judge at county level in Alabama, I believe Etowah County, Alabama. And he had a small plaque of the Ten Commandments that he had carved, that he put in his courtroom, just a small plaque. And actually, my understanding is, if you were standing in the courtroom, you couldn't even really read it unless you were right up at the, almost up at the wall.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, the ACLU, being kind of the Christian haters and founder haters of our country, they went after him for things like that. And pretty soon he became very famous throughout the country. Dr. Kennedy was a huge supporter because Roy Moore, he made it very plain from the beginning that he would give up his job, he would do anything to stand for God's laws before he would stand for man's laws.
Mm-hmm. And we used to have a lot of judges who would do that. When now we have, like, one. His name's Roy Moore.
Yes, that's correct. I think it was James Wilson, one of our founders and a judge himself. It was him that stated that religion and politics, religion and law, were twin sisters, that they went hand in hand. You know, and actually, of course, the chief law commentator to the founders was William Blackstone, who taught very clearly in his law book that all laws are to be based on God's laws, on the Holy Scriptures, and if a law ran contrary to, if a man-made law ran contrary to the Holy Scriptures, it was to be ignored.
Yeah.
It was no validity.
Wow. If only we had judges, if only we had leaders who still felt that way. So
this is why I fell in love very much with the type of stands that Roy Moore was taking. You know, it was not too long ago, probably a couple months ago, it was, I think, the son of former Alabama Governor Bob James was giving a speech there in Alabama, and he said, Roy Moore, is the closest thing we have to a founding father in today's world.
Wow.
Because our founding fathers were willing to give up everything.
Yeah.
You know, one of the founding fathers was there at Yorktown, and he had put up his mansion for $2 million to help finance the war for independence.
Mm-hmm.
And as George Washington and the French were surrounding the British, and they realized that Cornwallis and the British generals had their headquarters in this man's mansion, and the man told Washington and them, just blow it up.
Yeah, yeah.
So he was willing to give up everything.
Absolutely.
And that's what we see in Roy Moore. Now, Roy Moore, as a small-time judge, as I would say at that time, a county judge, he won in his battle against the ACLU at the time, and he later ran for Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
Once he was installed as Chief Justice, it was a little while later that he had a gigantic monument, 2.5 tons,
mm-hmm.
Which bore the Ten Commandments, as well as other quotes from the founders of our country, had that installed in the rotunda of the Alabama Judiciary Building in Montgomery.
Yeah.
And of course,
I've always heard of just the Ten Commandments. So it's more than, because it's always, he's called the Ten Commandments judge. So it's more than just the Ten Commandments on that 2.5 ton monument.
Oh, yes, a lot more.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yes, there's a lot more on that. And I can, while I'm talking here, I can get the picture here, probably show some more of that. If I remember right, there's quotes of, my wife's going to look it up here in the paperwork now.
Okay.
I think it has quotes of William Blackstone on it, James Madison, the Judicial Act of 1789, and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm. So things that had a direct impact on the founding of our nation.
Yes, that's correct. There's 2.5 ton monument, Ten Commandments were at the top, but the monument actually had much more than just the Ten Commandments. It had everything pointing to what our founders believed.
Mm-hmm.
Regarding that everything should be based upon God's laws.
Right.
And that even as the Declaration of Independence says, you know, our rights do not come from man, they come from God.
Exactly. Yeah. And but I think that's why schools no longer teach. I mean, they may teach about the founding documents, but it's just the textbook writer's rendition of or interpretation of those documents. Very seldom do they let the kids read the documents in their entirety. When it comes to our founding documents,
that's
they just
correct.
Take excerpts. Yeah, so our kids have no idea what the real founding of this nation was, who the founders were, and what their stance or what their beliefs in God were. That's
that's one thing. You know, when Roy Moore has been interviewed, you know, he will explain, you know, that our rights, you know, even our Declaration of Independence, which he explained, is still listed as the organic law of the United States, and that says we believe all men are endowed by their Creator, etc. You know, our founders clearly believed that our rights come from God.
Mm-hmm.
And as Roy Moore explains, that I agree entirely, you know, whenever man says he's given you a right, he's taken something else away.
Mm.
So when man says he gives a woman a right to choose to have an abortion, he's also at the same time taking away the right of that child in
yes,
the womb.
Yes, absolutely.
Why I deeply admire Roy Moore so much is because, of course, in the case of the Ten Commandments monument, because of the ACLU suing, eventually a federal court orders that monument to be removed from the rotunda of the building.
Mm-hmm.
And in any case, Roy Moore, you know, he said, I've taken an oath to the Constitution of Alabama, to the Constitution of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that Roy Moore often brings up is that when he was a cadet at West Point, they had a sign there on the ground which said that with the United States military, it was a different type of thing than, say, with Napoleon or someone like that.
Right.
The soldiers didn't take an oath to a military leader. They took an oath to a constitution.
Right.
So they're not constitution based on, you know, the laws of heaven, really.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And Roy Moore will bring up how in Vietnam, there was a soldier who was killed innocent lives. And he was court-martialed for it, and he said, well, I was obeying the commander's orders.
Hmm.
And they said, well, that doesn't work. You obey commander's orders only as long as they're lawful. So,
exactly. Right. And that's actually in the oath that the military take, that they are not required to carry out unlawful orders. So, wow. And so many times, you know, we don't know so much stuff, so much information. So so what you've outlined, though, here is he is a solid conservative. So because he was a solid conservative, we know the Republican leadership backed him from the beginning, right? Probably not.
No, the Republican leadership were against him from the beginning in the Senate race. But back to the Ten Commandments monument, federal court ordered him to remove it. He said, I cannot do that. He refused. Thousands of Christians were there in Alabama around the monument preventing its removal for a few days. One lady that was, I think, she was in a wheelchair even. They handcuffed her and took her away
because
she wouldn't leave the monument away. And eventually, Roy Moore was suspended. Now, what happens in Alabama? They have a judiciary tribunal down there, which is kind of strange. The state of Alabama should be one of the most conservative states in the union.
Yeah, across the board, should be.
Yes, and yet they have this judiciary tribunal down there that tries judges when a complaint's brought against them, and they are that judicial tribunal is very anti-Christian and very anti-everything the country was founded on. So they just removed him from office at that point. And then a few years later, the people of Alabama re-elected Roy Moore to being Chief Justice of the state.
Wow, I think they were trying to send a message to people, voters of Alabama.
So. I think so very much.
Yeah.
And of course, the second time around, the Supreme Court made its ruling in Obergefell attempting to legalize gay marriage. Now, Roy Moore clearly understands that a Supreme Court ruling is not a law of the land.
Exactly.
And even as our friend Jim Rotke and I, the ones I know, you know, anyone that's a constitutional expert will tell you that right now, even as we speak, abortion and sodomy are illegal in Pennsylvania. Because those laws have not been removed from the books. The law is made by the legislators, signing a bill by the law, whether by the governor or by the president.
Right, to go through the process. Yeah, to go through the legislative process, which is outlined in the Constitution.
And a court ruling is not a law. President Lincoln wisely, you know, ignored the Dred Scott decision when he issued the Emancipation Proclamation.
Yeah.
And, of course, President Lincoln also said it William Blackstone knew that God's law would come first.
Yeah, absolutely.
But,
so few people nowadays even know who William Blackstone is.
Right.
And again, a failure of our public school system to truly outline who our nation is and how she was founded.
And of course, the Constitution itself says this Constitution, laws which shall be made in pursuance thereof, and all treaties made which shall be made, those are the laws of the land. It does not say a court ruling is the law of the land.
Exactly.
In fact, in one of Roy Moore's rulings in Alabama as Chief Justice that had to deal with abortion, he had said in there, he said, you know, Roe versus Wade is an illegitimate decision that should be eliminated just as the German laws were eliminated when Nazi Germany fell.
Should be.
He said, and it is his belief that all children, you know, unborn children should be detected simply by the homicide laws of the state.
Well, that's true because it is murder. I totally agree because it's a beating heart there. And, you know, and we can't even get laws passed to protect children. We can't even get laws passed to defund Planned Parenthood, to remove taxpayer fundings from Planned Parenthood. We can't even get laws passed to do that.
That's so stupid, and I hear people say, well, we're going to get the dismemberment bill through or something, and I understand they're trying to get bits of it, but the fact of the matter is, if you get enough legislators and governors who know the Constitution and know what they believe, all they have to do is enforce the laws. Now, I've said to Chief Justice Moore, I think on three different occasions, I said, cannot a state governor enforce his state laws against abortion and sodomy and be done with it? And he said, yes.
You know, it's
simply a thing of enforcing the law. We live in a land of lawlessness, and laws that should be enforced are not being enforced.
And increasingly we see all of what you're saying. You know, we live in a country of lawlessness, and existing laws are not being enforced. So because of Judge Moore's strong conservative stand, Mitch McConnell and his super PAC, the Senate Leadership Fund, that's a powerful super PAC with close ties to Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, did not support Judge Roy Moore. In fact, they, for the August, leading into the August 15th primary and bleeding over into the runoff in September, they pumped this is from an article in May, it may have changed, I mean, $2.65 million in TV airtime and pledged up to $10 million towards Alabama voters, trying to convince them to support their candidate, who was Luther Strange, who had been appointed or nominated by Governor Robert Bentley.
Yes, so Governor Bentley, of course, resigned because he's
yes.
a crook.
Mm-hmm.
And Luther Strange, you know, Luther Strange is your typical wimpy, worthless Republican.
Yeah.
Even in the debate between Roy Moore and Luther Strange. And why don't I explain very quickly when I first met Roy Moore, and then I can talk about Luther Strange.
Mm-hmm.
At the time the Obergefell decision came down from the Supreme Court, I said to myself, I would like to meet at least one, or I'd like to call at least somewhere in the United States a judge somewhere who knows the Constitution well enough and who loves the Lord enough mm-hmm. that he's not going to go with this hogwash,
yeah.
you know, or this gay marriage garbage. And I got to calling around. I found in Pennsylvania there had been one lady who, and her name skips my mind, who had sued to try to stop it, but then once it went through, she just went along with it, and so
mm-hmm.
she was obviously didn't have any stand herself then.
Yeah, yeah.
And then as I called around, I found in Kentucky not one, but three different clerks, not just Kim Davis. There were two other clerks.
Mm-hmm.
And I did call them up and encourage them on the phone.
Yeah.
And I found in Alabama at the time four different probate judges.
Mm-hmm.
Judge Wes Allen of Pike County, Judge Valerie Davis of Clark County, Judge Nick Williams of Washington County, and Judge Ben Bowden of Covington County.
Okay.
And actually, as it stands, all of those except Ben Bowden are still taking a stand. They have, to this day, never issued any licenses for gay marriage.
Wow. And Kim Davis in Kentucky is still under attack because they're trying to sue her on some other issues. I mean, the ACLU is trying to make a definite example of her and her strong stand in support of a natural marriage. Teresa Gaffney, I believe, is a person you're talking about here in Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
she
yes.
was, can't think what, was it Schuylkill County, I think?
It seemed like over that way, Schuylkill Haven or something.
Yeah,
like
yeah. She was county, the one who issues marriage licenses in the county.
County clerk.
Yeah, yeah.
I had questioned her. She had given a talk at one political rally. I was asked, supposed to be a conservative one, and I questioned her why she had started issuing licenses, and you could tell that she got mad at me for asking
mm-hmm.
her that.
But it's a natural question, though.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
I want to know why that she took a stand and then all of a sudden just went along with it as if it was a normal thing. You know?
Yeah. Again, you know, she was looking at Kim Davis and all the mud she was being dragged through. I mean, they were intent on sending a message to every single county clerk in every single state in the nation that if you don't support this, you're going to become the next Kim Davis. And I applaud Kim Davis for sticking to her guns throughout the, that's probably not a politically correct term, but anyway, for standing strong and not just starting the fight, but continuing on through the fight, unlike some here in Pennsylvania and other states who said that.
Back to Alabama, those four probate judges I mentioned, the only one that's not, and maybe he is saying his stand, but he's not in marriage licensing anymore, and that's been bowed, and he was appointed to another, I think, to a circuit judge, and so he was taken out of the marriage business, and maybe that was convenient for him, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But in any case, at that time, I had befriended one of the Baptist pastors down there, Pastor John Killian, who has been very much one of the big supporters of Roy Moore and all the Christian judges down there and other Christian politicians, and I did make a trip down. That was around a year and a half ago, went down there. Some of us here in Pennsylvania had plaques made up for the probate judges down there.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the probate judges, they were very elated and went down there and met in person with Judge Valerie Davis, Judge Nick Williams, Judge Wes Allen. I remember Nick Williams saying that a reporter had asked him, wasn't he afraid he would go to jail? And he said, well, God was with Matt, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego,
mm-hmm.
and he'll be with me, and I'm not going to be afraid.
Wow, good, good.
But I learned... Of course, Pastor Killian's been one of the head Baptists down there in Alabama, and I had expressed to him how I would love to get to meet Roy Moore.
Mm-hmm.
And Roy Moore at that point was still sitting as Chief Justice on the court. This is before he was suspended over the gay marriage.
Uh-huh.
And Pastor Killian said, I'll arrange it.
Wow.
And I remember it was kind of last minute because I was getting ready to leave home to
mm-hmm.
go down there, and I still had not heard from Pastor Killian when it would be. And at the last minute, he said, okay, it'll be this coming week or whatever, you know, in a few days.
Oh, wow.
So I went there, and actually, with a pastor friend of mine, we went there to the judiciary building there in Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing, before we got to meet with Chief Justice Moore in his office one-on-one, we sat there in the chamber of the Supreme Court, And Warren Moore was giving a talk on the Constitution. He was teaching the Constitution to two groups of young people.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say young people, I mean like teenagers, 18-year-olders.
Wow.
This is the perfect man to learn it from.
Oh, absolutely.
And each person was given a little book with the Constitution and I think excerpts of Blackstone and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And Warren Moore, he knows so much by heart. You know, he would tell us, turn to page 93 or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And we would turn there, and we're reading along, and I look up, and he's just reciting everything word for word.
Wow.
He probably knows, I'm going to guess he knows 10,000 or more court cases in his head.
Oh, my goodness.
Off the top of his head, he knows the he basically knows the Constitution, numerous addresses. You can ask him to give an address to Samuel Adams or someone, and he can quote it word for word.
My goodness. And that is exactly why Mitch McConnell and the Republican leadership do not want him in the United States Senate. Jack, we're going to end the program here and take it up next time to talk more about Judge Roy Moore's solid Christian and constitutional stands and the attacks by the Republican establishment against him and his Senate campaign.